Andy, super thankful that you stopped in to share your story. So the last couple of days have been wild.
Yes, they have.
We had a couple of conversations. Those conversations got bigger and bigger. And honestly, you just started bubbling up with so much excitement. I wanted to hear and wanted to get this on record, listening to your excitement and your story. And so tell me, over the last, like, let's go back a couple of weeks, a couple of years, whatever you think, like, tell me your story. Walk me through what's been going on in your life.
Well, I'll start with women when I was about 14. And the reason I'm going to start there is because on a mission trip, we went to Indiana, and I'm going to word it this way on purpose. I did the prayer of salvation.
Okay.
And I did it because of a fear of going to hell. Okay. And my eyes would be open to the issue with that later on.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'll just leave it there for now. So I did the prayer of salvation. My friends kind of nudged me into getting baptized. For weeks, I fought it. Mm-hmm. And I said, fine, okay, I'll do it. So then I got baptized. And then, you know, I'd go on some mission trips. I was going to church regularly. I was very active with the youth group. I'm sure you remember.
Yes, I do.
And
I was your youth pastor at the moment. I think I was even the one that I took you on that trip.
You did.
Yeah, yeah.
Triple T.
Yep. Great ministry. Yes. Great thing up in Indiana. A lot of fun. Yeah.
And I was very active, going to church often. And then some things in my life that I had just really wanted didn't work out. Jobs that I wanted, just the future that I had planned for myself fell apart. Mm-hmm. And I won't get all into the detail because that doesn't really matter. Basically, I finally started facing trouble when I got into my adult life because the things that I had planned for my life didn't work out.
Sure.
And I found myself getting really mad. I was really mad, depressed, and it was one of those things. It was just a little anger here. Maybe go to church a little less, maybe say a curse here or there. And then, of course, it snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I'm just very comfortably living in a very sinful lifestyle and just doing things that, you know, I look back on and it's just horrible.
Yeah.
And just for an example, I mean, I was out getting drunk every night. Very drunk every night. And the things that I would say just were awful. And it's really hard to look back on that now. But I was just very comfortable in it. I didn't feel any conviction. So now we're going to fast forward a little again. And I'm trying to start cleaning things up. You know, I realized, okay, I went too far.
Yeah.
Trying to start cleaning things up, have kids, that's always going to change you.
Sure.
Or it should.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do better, trying to be a better husband, be a good father. We're starting to go to church. We're going maybe once a month. And that wasn't planned. It was just we'd go, we're going to be really active this time. Then we wouldn't go. Then we're going to go again, be really active. Then we wouldn't go. Then about a year ago, there was a family night here for VBS at New Providence. I had no intention in coming. I was not going to come, actually. But then Natalie talked me into it. So I came, saw a bunch of people from the youth that I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
And that got me excited, and I started feeling this. Something was pulling me in and saying, it's time to come back. So, okay, we started coming back here. And we actually started coming back weekly, which was very surprising because I had no interest in coming back.
Yeah.
But we start coming back. We're coming back weekly. And then next thing I know, I'm in a small group. I'm in a Bible study. I'm somehow on the worship team. I got asked to be on the worship team, and I said, okay, sure. So I picked up a bass again after 10 years, started playing up there, started serving with the youth. And, you know, I'm really getting back into church, bringing my kids to church. And at this point, I'm understanding the importance of being in church. And then something really started changing in the last year. Mm-hmm. I started seeking a relationship with God for what I would really say is the first time in my life. It wasn't just, you know, hell scary. I definitely don't want to go there. It was, I want God. I want to actually connect with him. And I started doing a Bible study called Experiencing God.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, experiencing God sounds kind of cool. I want to do that. I want to experience him. And I'm doing this Bible study and I'm, you know, it's kind of realizing, okay, I've not really felt that. Okay. That's a cool story. I've not experienced that, but hey, maybe one day.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I'm kind of forcing it, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm definitely experiencing God. You know, man, this is awesome stuff. But deep down, I know I'm forcing it.
Yeah.
But I really want it. I really genuinely want to have this relationship with God. And next thing I know, I'm doing something I really hadn't done in a long time, which is reading my Bible, just reading, trying to actually understand it.
Yeah.
I'm praying, and not just a little good night prayer. And my prayers were very structured for a while. I mean, they were a prayer that I did today would be the exact same one I did tomorrow. And then the next day I had my checklist of things that I prayed.
Yeah. Things you had to say in
yes,
order.
And, it was like, I mean, I could have just wrote it down, hung it up on the wall and just looked at it and then just said my prayer. I probably shouldn't turn my head too much.
It's okay.
And of course that made my prayer life start to fall apart because I don't want to do this. This is boring. I'm saying the same thing every night.
Yeah.
And then I find myself starting to talk with God. I'm asking God questions. God, I want to experience you. Why do we feel distant? Everyone around me is experiencing you in a way that I just don't seem to be. And I don't think they're faking it. I think it's real.
Yeah.
And of course I know God is real. I know Jesus is real. I'm not doubting any of that. Yeah. I believe in the gospel.
Yeah.
But I'm just realizing there's a disconnect. So now we're going to get to the last couple of weeks. And I find myself praying, God, why am I feeling a disconnect? Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on. Is it sin in my life that's separating us? Is it what's going on? And I'm starting to have my eyes open, and I just want to give God all the credit because it's nothing I did. Mm-hmm. Through reading his word, through prayer, through watching the faith of everyone around me and their prayers during some situations that's been going on here at the church, I realize, or God opened my eyes to the fact that we don't have a relationship. My salvation has been an escape from hell, and that's it. Yeah. That's all I've wanted. I never have sought him until recently. So then I fought that for a while because I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm seeking you now, so it's all good. And it's almost, I could feel God telling me, your pride is still getting in your way, though. You need to come to me mm-hmm. truly for the first time. Mm-hmm. And part of that's going to be truly surrendering to Jesus as Lord, not out of a fear. And I'm not going to lie and say that fear is just, I feel like that's always a little bit of an element of it.
Sure, sure.
But there was this genuine desire for a relationship now. And I just fought it because I didn't want to say, you know, I'm on ministries now. I'm 30 years old. I have kids that I'm talking about how great God is. Yeah. I don't want to say, oh, by the way, I'm not saved.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm convincing myself I'm not, right? Come on. I prayed that prayer. And a little backstory also, in between when I did that prayer mm-hmm. to now, or to this point that I'm at in the story, I probably did the prayer of salvation hundreds of times. Just, it became a constant thing. If I thought about death, it always felt off. I never had that assurance. So I just kept doing it, you know, just my just in case prayer.
Right.
And, but then I wrestled with this for a while. I texted you a little as I'm wrestling it.
Yeah.
You got to experience kind of the tail end of me going through all of this. Because I'm sending you some messages like, hey, I'm feeling some weird convictions here. What do I do? And I'm really glad you did not respond, by the way.
Yeah.
Because about that exact same time, God finally got through to me. And I remember I started sweating. And I'm sitting, everyone's asleep at home, and I'm just thinking, this really cannot be happening. But then I finally just said, I'm not going to fight it anymore. Why? This is such a silly thing to fight.
Yeah.
So I examined my heart very hard, and I said, I want to really be sure my heart's truly in the right place. I want to make sure this isn't just a run from hell again. Am I really seeking Jesus? And it sounds silly to say I sat there and examined, but I'm such an overthinker. I knew that if I didn't, later on, I would look back and go, was I really? So
yeah,
In a way, that was kind of for me. That was to say, hey, you're going to be 100% sure when you do this.
Yeah.
And it's like at that point, it felt like I wasn't even in control anymore. I found myself in my room, just on my knees praying. And I don't think I even mentioned hell once in that prayer. Like, I wasn't saying, please come save me from hell.
Yeah.
I was saying, Lord, I understand. And I found myself just apologizing for my sins and, you know, saying, you know, yes, I believe in the gospel. I believe in what you did, and it's nothing I can do. It's all you.
Yeah.
And I want you to be my Lord. I want this relationship with you. I want to finally have this connection. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you.
Yeah.
I want to just look over and see you. Actually see you. That'd be really cool. I got to wait for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that's how much I desired to have this relationship. I was just, I want this friend in God.
Yeah.
I want to serve him. I want to hear from him. I hated the idea of going for a minute without hearing from him.
Yeah.
And so I'm praying all this. I'm just pouring my heart out. And then after, everything was different. I got up, and no more was it, you know, I'm fighting this, I can't admit this. I was like, this really just happened.
Yeah.
Wow. And I don't even know, even now I'm having a hard time coming up with words to describe it.
Yeah.
And I remember that it was super late at night, so I was being considerate of you. Trust me, I came close. But the next day, I remember saying, hey, Natalie, I'm going to go step outside for a minute. So I step outside because I didn't want the kids screaming while I was on the phone.
Yeah.
I go out into this little wooded area behind our place, and I call you.
Yep.
And after fighting it, after being so proud, and it actually ties back to a message that I sent you when I was saying, hey, I'm feeling some weird convictions.
Yeah.
Now I'm calling you and saying, I just got saved. I'm ready to be baptized.
Yeah.
I didn't ask. I didn't say, do you think I should? I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I think I even said, and correct me if I'm wrong, it is a bit of a blur to be honest. I was excited.
Yeah.
And I'm actually getting a little shaky now recalling it. But I said, can we do it now?
Yeah. Yeah. You were quoting scripture in Acts where you were like, you know, the eunuch asked, you know, well, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized right now?
Yes. He's like, I think I did straight up quote that, didn't I? Yeah. Surely no one's going to deny this man water for baptism. I mean, I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
And then I was so excited. Yeah. And I think I said to you, I know sometimes we push these off a little bit. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And I think I even said, if we can't at the church, come to my pool.
Yeah. Yep.
I was ready. Yeah. I was so excited. And yeah, it did feel a little weird because, you know, I'm basically telling everybody, yeah, after 30 years, I'm finding out I was wrong.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I just didn't care. I'm calling my parents, telling them, calling my grandparents, calling my brother. Of course, I called Joseph, told him.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling everyone, I'm so excited. And then we come to church. Just, that was Saturday.
Yep. Yep.
And then you send me a message, a picture of the baptismal. And you're saying it's going to be cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's ready for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Before the service, you're getting dunked. And I got there and I just remember, you know, in the past, my friends basically had to drag me into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not a single person was telling me to go get baptized.
Yeah.
It was the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit was saying, like, there was this desire to go obey, this desire to go tell everyone.
Yeah.
And I got up there and I just remember reflecting on it before we did it. I just was sitting there thinking, this is really happening.
Yeah.
And we go in there. I get to share a little bit of my testimony, which I hate public speaking.
Yeah.
And it's in that moment, I just wasn't nervous. Mm-hmm. I was so excited to share. I get baptized. And then some spiritual warfare definitely happened after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I get baptized in a great mood. Then it felt like all the arrows were being shot at me.
Yeah.
And you were getting messages all throughout this.
Yeah, I was.
It wasn't, I got baptized, came up, and now everything's happy and jolly. It was, my anxieties were through the roof.
Yep.
There was doubt coming in. There was even, you know, questions in my head. You know, did this really happen? Is this real? I mean, just the worst possible things I feel like I could have thought of were suddenly coming through my head.
Yeah.
And just, again, doubts and I don't even know how to put it, anxieties. I was having a hard time going to sleep. And then I finally just messaged you and I said, why is this happening? What's going on? I don't get it. I'm not, my brain's doubting, but I know the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, this doesn't make sense to me. This is very different than it was before. I don't feel like I'm wrestling with God now. Yeah. Something feels very different. And then you shared with me the coolest thing and everything just changed after that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to butcher it. You said, this is no longer a battle for your faith. This is a battle of your faith. This is,
yeah.
And this is the word that I just loved, an opportunity for your faith.
Yeah.
And when I started looking at it that way, I realized, and it aligned with the scripture I was reading. Mm-hmm. It aligned with what other people from the church were telling me. Because, you know, of course, I'm talking to Natalie about this. And
yeah,
it aligned with what I was really deep down feeling in my heart, especially in moments of calmness.
Yeah.
When it felt like I was listening a little more.
Yeah.
And what you said aligned, that this is a moment where I just got to be faithful now.
Yeah.
I have to stop thinking about, because some of the anxieties were, did I do it right? Did I say the right things during the prayer? Did you do this? Did you do this? And then finally the reality is, it's not what I do.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with necessarily the words I say. It's everything that's in your heart when you say it. The faith that's backing the words.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I was even telling Natalie, I'm sitting there going, I'm so anxious about the words that I said. And she's so level-headed. She's perfect. And she said, stop worrying about that. Just stop. And you basically sent me a text at the exact same time telling me about the opportunity for my faith.
Yeah.
And I realized in that moment, I really just have to have faith. I mean, I'm trusting Jesus with my eternal life.
Yeah.
I just have to have faith. Yeah. And it's funny because it sounds so easy, right? Just give it all to God. It's so easy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, unless you're me and I have to have control over everything. I'll tell someone, hey, I'll tell the kids, hey, could you go pick that up? And I'm doing it kind of cause I'm lazy in a way, you know, I just want to sit here after work. I'm tired. Hey, can you go pick that up? And I want them to learn a good lesson, but I'll still get up and go watch them pick it up to make sure they do it right. It's like, I might as well just done it because I have to have some control.
Yeah.
And it's like, when it comes to this, I have no control. It's nothing that I do.
Yeah.
And yes, the enemy's going to throw doubt at me. the enemy's going to make me doubt everything, because that's one of the enemy's greatest weapons.
Yeah.
The enemy's going to make you doubt what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy, and I'm sure every Christian has faced this, and maybe I'm too new to be saying this, but the enemy's going to make you doubt your salvation. Yeah. The enemy's going to make you go, are you sure you're right? And the enemy wants to do that because the enemy wants you to never move forward. The enemy wants you on day one,
yeah,
where you're getting saved. The enemy doesn't want you moving forward, because when you move forward and Christ is truly your Lord, you're sharing.
Yeah.
You're leading others to Him. You're serving.
Yeah.
That's what the enemy doesn't want. They've already lost you, but maybe they won't lose anyone else if they can keep you held down.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
And when I realized that, I was like, the enemy's a thorn in my side, and I'm about to go be a thorn in his.
Yeah.
So I went for a walk. I'm wearing this Jesus over everything shirt.
Yeah.
And I told you this.
You did, yeah.
And this is just right after our conversation, when I finally said, Jesus, my faith is fully in you. First of all, I felt a peace, and I haven't felt peace in so long. It was almost unsettling. I was like, ooh, why am I not feeling anything? I should be anxious. Maybe something's wrong.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, no, not again. That's how bad my anxiety is, by the way.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
That was just me getting that off my chest.
Yeah.
But I felt this peace, and the next thing I know, I'm walking to the post office, and I do that daily. I always walk. Yeah. And it's like God immediately gave me an opportunity, to be faithful, to serve like I've been saying I want to.
Yeah.
But also to be a thorn in the enemy's side.
Yeah.
A person came up to me. Well, they didn't come up to me, because let me emphasize that, because I maybe came across like a crazy person here. I'm walking by them. They are not in the direction I'm headed. I'm at a corner on the sidewalk. They're over here.
Yeah.
I'm going this way.
Yeah.
They see my shirt and they say, hey, I like your shirt.
Yep.
Probably the normal response would have been, oh, thanks, and keep going.
Yeah.
I don't even think I said thanks. I turned to him and said, yeah, I got saved Friday and baptized Sunday. And then he goes, oh, that's really neat. And I said, yeah, you know, it's been a roller coaster, but, you know, God's really opening my eyes to things. And I'm just sharing this with this guy. And he's probably, and I could tell he was trying to walk away.
Yeah.
But I'm just sharing with him. And he, you know, he's being nice as could be.
Yeah.
But I was just so excited.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is what the enemy does not want me to do.
Yeah.
The enemy doesn't want me here right now.
Right.
I was feeling some anxiety and doubts before I even came here.
Sure.
And I realized it's always before these opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to stop me. Yeah. They want me to stay locked up in my room, examining myself, not going out and serving now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I've known you for 18 years or something. And
yes.
You are not an outgoing person.
I'm not.
You are very much a reserved person. I remember whenever you were in the youth group, like you were the guy that was always over to the side, like just kind of wanting to be by yourself. And yeah, when you text me today and said, I'm wearing my shirt, like listen to what just happened. And I thought, that's not Andy doing that. That's the Holy Spirit that's activated now within you because of this. You know, one of the things we talked about last week when all this was kind of happening was, you know, you kept mentioning, I wanted to get out of hell. I was afraid of going there, but you never made the choice or never made the decision or never said submitted to Jesus being your Lord. And like him being the Lord of your life is different. Like that.
Yes. Just,
that's a different thing. It's, you know, there's this powerful moment whenever we say, my life is yours.
Yes.
Like it's yours. So whatever you do, however you, and it's exactly like you said, you know, the enemy starts firing darts at you because he's like, I don't want you doing anything, you know, so here's some questions, here's some, you know, and he always makes us question the truth. Like that's what he does. He makes us question the truth. And it's just been awesome to see like how you're not an extroverted person.
No.
And yet like I've been in two or three rooms with you now where you've been in rooms that your Bible study room that I accidentally walked into the other day, and there was a bunch of guys around, and one of the guys after everybody had left, he said, just so you know, like we'd have been done if it wasn't for Andy, but like, he just won't shut up. He just keeps talking. It just keeps, and it's like, there has been a radical shift and a change. And I wonder, like, you made a statement whenever I was about to baptize you, you said, you know, everybody needs to examine themselves.
Yes.
Everybody needs to, because you thought you prayed a prayer of fire insurance or whatever you call it, you know, and recognized that you weren't saved. I mean, yes. It wasn't just I backslid. Like you talked about, like, you know, oh, I think I've, you know, maybe I backslid, maybe I did this, maybe I did this, but you're like, no, I missed it altogether.
Yes.
And, do you think that's an issue in the church? Do you think people are, because what you're experiencing right now is radically different than the typical, oh, I got saved, everybody claps, does their little, you know, whatever, and then it's like, oh, baptized, okay, yay, and then it's like, okay, now sit here and, you know, just try not to get in the way.
Yep.
You know, and now you've got this joy that, like, is different. It's just different. I mean, if you encourage everybody right before I baptized you, you said, let's go examine yourself.
Yes.
Why is that so important?
Not wanting to go to hell is not going to get you out of hell. And I
it's a good phrase.
And it really breaks my heart to think. I mean, it really does. To think that there are people who are going to go their whole lives thinking, I did that prayer. I said the word, and oftentimes it's even, and I'm not necessarily saying this is wrong, but oftentimes it's repeat after me, which is what that was. I repeated after someone on the mission trip. I won't name drop, but yeah. I repeated after someone on the mission trip. They said the words and I said it. I couldn't tell you what they said. Yeah. And the problem with, okay, so my problem with the repeat after me is oftentimes you're going to make sure you say what they say.
Yeah.
But if you really believe it, you don't need to repeat after somebody because you believe it.
Yeah.
And also, it really isn't the words you say out loud.
Yeah.
And when you read the Bible, and please correct me if I'm wrong, there's no prayer of salvation.
There is no prayer like that. No.
Because if there was, that would be really irresponsible to not have it word for word as the very first page of the Bible and saying, hey, just read this, say your spell out of hell, and you're good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, say the words, and at that point, you know, God's hands are tied.
Right.
You said the words.
Right.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
What do we often see? Especially Acts 4. They heard, they believed.
Yeah.
And that's what stood out to me.
Yeah.
Was there a belief? Yes. I know this is all real, but there's a big difference between, yeah, this is all real, and Jesus is the way. The way, by the way, not a way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the way. No one comes to the Father but through Him. When you truly believe that, when you truly say, Jesus, you are Lord. I can't think of the verse. Correct me if I'm wrong. It might be Romans 10:9. Everyone who declares Jesus is Lord and believes will be saved. And I may have butchered that a little bit.
It's okay. We're close enough.
But that's the thing. So many people will say this prayer because they hear a fiery sermon about hell. They get spooked, rightfully so.
It sure
doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
And especially if you're a kid, naturally that's going to get you on your knees going, whoa, I don't want that. What do I need to say?
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
And it really breaks my heart to realize there are so many people who are going to find themselves in the very thing that they've been afraid of their whole life.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's not about getting out of hell. Yes, that is one of the great blessings that we do not deserve.
Right.
That you receive.
Yeah.
But I've learned through this, when you declare Jesus as your Lord, when you seek that relationship with Him, that's the blessing.
Yeah.
When you find yourself praying and then you're seeing the answer to those prayers, that is an amazing feeling. When you have those moments where all you can do is just drop to your knees and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't even put words together.
Yeah.
When you're going out and, like we were talking about, someone who rarely talks to anybody that I don't know. Yeah. And even people I do know, I'm kind of... And now all of a sudden, I'm just fired up. I'm like, let me tell you about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. It's a blessing. And again, yes, the enemy's going to attack you hard. The enemy's not going to attack you if you're only trying to get out of hell.
Right.
Because you're not a threat still.
Yeah.
When the enemy starts attacking you, it hurts because they're going to get into your head. They'll even disguise themselves as God.
Right.
They'll say, this is God speaking to you.
Yeah.
And I remember I wrestled with this, and I went to you. I went to Natalie. I went to people who were very mature in their faith. Mm-hmm. And I went to the Word, and I realized, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Don't try to run from hell. Examine yourselves. Is Jesus in you, and are you in Jesus?
Yeah.
And don't think, well, that's not really what I want. It's really a blessing. Trust me. It is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a roller coaster. Yep. And as I told you, it feels like everything that I knew for the last 30 years is just gone.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, I thought I was very knowledgeable. And no, I'm not. And God's opening my eyes every day. And it honestly makes me want to get dropped to my knees and get saved again. Because I'm like, I know more about you now than I did then. What did I even know then?
Yeah.
And every time, and I don't know if this changes after a while, definitely hasn't for me yet. Every time God reveals himself in a new way, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, this is the greatest thing I'm ever going to see.
Yeah.
And it's just so exciting. And I really want people to seek that.
Yeah.
And yes, you won't go to hell.
Right.
That is nice.
Right.
But
yeah,
that relationship is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that relationship is what's going to make you go out. Because when people get saved and all they're doing is running from hell, they don't go and declare that to people.
Right.
Because they, you know, hey, I'm good. I'm safe now.
Yeah.
But when you come to Jesus, when you see him, you can't be quiet about him. And whenever he does something that to so many people might seem small, it's huge. Mm-hmm. I'll give one example, and I'll try really hard to not throw out any names. But I was praying for someone. I'm going to try to keep it as vague as possible.
Okay.
I was praying for someone that a lot of our church is currently praying for.
Okay.
And for the first time, it felt like a true, genuine, God, I know you're sovereign over this. I know you're in control. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what your timing is, but I know that what you do is going to be what leads to praise and glory to you.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to ask that you help, we'll just say, heal this person.
Yeah.
Of a sickness they're going through. I think you know who I'm talking about, but again, I'm trying to not name drop.
Right, sure.
Heal this person of something they're going through. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a minute later, this person's dad, as if I'm not completely giving it away now, sent me a message with a massive update that this person is doing better.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, you know, an hour later. Yeah. It was right then. Amen. Buzz.
Yeah.
And I just found myself on my knees. For the first time, it felt like I was genuinely just thanking God. Yeah. And it wasn't for something he did to me.
Right.
And I'm sitting there thinking, the thing that he did for me in that moment was reveal himself. I got to see something I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
And all I could say was, thank you, thank you, thank you. I tried to form a nice little sentence for him. I was like, I owe you at least a paragraph. But I couldn't. I was just, thank you, thank you. And I dropped to my knees.
Yeah.
And when you experience that, there is no better feeling in the world.
Yeah.
So for me, what I want to tell people is seek Jesus. Yeah. First of all, when you seek him, he won't turn you away.
Yeah.
Because God loves us. And we really don't deserve the love that he gives us.
Yeah.
And he still loves us anyways. And when you're seeking Jesus, understand you cannot do that on your own.
Right.
We are sinful.
Yeah.
We are not going to naturally seek Jesus. We give ourselves a lot of credit. A lot of Christians sometimes fall, and I even do this still, fall into the trap of I. God opens your eyes.
Yeah.
God brings you to him. Mm-hmm. That invitation is not going to last forever.
Right.
When you feel God pulling you to him, don't fight it.
Yeah.
Don't fight it. Don't be proud like I was for so long. And I thank him that he didn't give up on me.
Yeah.
When he invites you, you have one thing that you have to do. One thing. Accept it.
Yeah.
Just say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is Lord. Say it. Believe it.
Yeah.
Let your life be changed. You know, because they talk about heart hardening in the Bible. And I only recently learned, because I used to think, well, that's kind of mean that he would do that. Yeah. Turn their hearts to stone. And I realized, no, the hardening of the heart is when the Holy Spirit just lets you, the Holy Spirit basically gives you what you're saying you want.
Yeah.
Eventually, if you say, no, I don't want God. I don't want God. The Holy Spirit is at one point going to go, okay, you have your wish. God doesn't send you to hell. You choose to go there.
Right.
God doesn't reject you. You reject him.
Yeah.
When you feel this conviction, and so many people are going to feel it, I would say definitely after watching this.
Yeah.
Because I know I would have.
Yeah.
So many people are going to feel this conviction. Examine yourselves. Is Jesus in you? Are you in him? And if you're feeling like, I don't think he is, don't fight it.
Right.
Because eventually, you're going to stop feeling that conviction.
Yeah.
And if you didn't make the right choice, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, granted, in the rest of this life, you ain't going to notice that problem.
Right, right.
It's not worth it, though. And the blessing of coming to him is so worth it. And yes, I know we were talking about the battles and how scary that can be.
Yeah.
But, and yes, it is. I have found myself struggling so hard the last several days. It's tough. To say it's not tough would be a complete lie. And I don't want to give anyone a false assumption.
Right, right.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. But it's so worth it because I know that the one who is in me has already won. Yeah. The enemy that's fighting me has already been defeated by the one that's in me.
Yeah.
They can shoot me with all the arrows they want, but they're not going to win.
Yeah.
They might hold me down.
Yeah.
But I have to just say, Jesus, and I had to do this recently. This is yours. I am surrendering this to you.
Yeah.
And that's when that opportunity came up and the guy said, hey, I like your shirt. And I turned into a crazy man and ran over there and started telling him stuff. It's scary. You're going to learn so many things you never knew. And even from the day you were saved, you're going to look back. And I look back on the day that I called on Jesus to be my Lord. And I told you this. I look back now and I'm like, I didn't even know anything then. Yeah. And it's so exciting though.
Yeah. Well, and I think I'd sent you a message too of, cause you were saying, you know, I didn't know enough then. How am I learning all this every day? And you know, the Bible says in Lamentations, like his mercies are new every morning. And
yeah.
So it's one of the phrases I've said forever. And I love is that, Jesus is always the same,
mm-hmm.
but he's new every day.
Yes.
Like he never changes, but you can find out something new about him every single day.
Yes.
And I think that's the difference in somebody that is even being faithful. So like there's a point in your life where you're going to have a lot of opportunity to, you know, what we call backslide, right? Where we lose our first love a little bit and we say, you know, well, this gets more exciting in my life or whatever. And in those moments, you just don't go pick up those new mercies. And it's like, wait, I was so fired up and like I would pray and end my prayer and then the update would show up. Like, how is it that I was doing that and I'm missing it now? And it's partly because we are the ones that make that decision to pull away, right? He never pulls away from us. And so, you know, I encourage you as I encourage everybody, like the more you're involved with the work of God, the more you see him. And the more you see him, the more you sit here and celebrate, and you can't keep it quiet because it's like, he's doing all kinds of stuff. How are we missing it? Like, look how good he is. Like, look how good he is. And so, you know, keep this fervor, keep this go, like keep this, passion, because at some point the enemy's one of the arrows is going to pierce, you know, you're going to not put your armor on one day because you're tired or whatever.
Yes.
And I think that's part of what I love about your small group right now. Like, you guys are holding each other together. I mean, you are, you know, challenging one another, and it's what the church is here for, right? It's here for the building up of one another, encouraging one another, so that we can all be fired up.
Yes.
All the time, and be a thorn in the enemy's side. I mean, I like the way you said that, like, just to say, you know what, the enemy's going to cause me problems. I'm going to cause him some problems today. So
it's really fun to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And talking about the church, when you get saved, please stay as part of a church.
Yeah.
It is so good to be surrounded by Christians
who,
you know, they're sharing what's going on in their life, what they're seeing God doing. And when you walked in on that Bible study, that's what some people were doing.
Yep.
And we were just a little Bible study, about five people, and it was like a full-blown church service in there. I mean, we were excited, and you feed off of that. And you're going, okay, this is cool. But then the cool part is you, and I encourage everyone to do this, even if it seems small, when God moves, it's never small.
Yeah.
Never. No matter what we see as small, that's a movement from God, and he's revealing it to you. Don't keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be quiet. Yeah. Go share it. And you might say, well, this person ain't going to care. Here's the thing. I really don't care if you care. I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to text you and say, hey, Anthony, guess what just happened? I met a guy on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, cool. But share it. Because one, that keeps you excited, right?
Yeah.
But then you have no idea if maybe that's what that other person needs to hear. Maybe, you know, they're getting a little numb. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they've been in the faith for a long time and they're, like you said, maybe backslide a little, and they just need to hear someone say, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
But no, you didn't, because you weren't there, but I'm going to share it with you. And then they go, that's what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to experience that. And I've even found myself, because I'm so wore out from this week.
Yeah.
With everything going on, getting tired. And when you get tired, you get numb.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a great worship service, you kind of find yourself going, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I found myself praying, God, please don't let me get numb. Don't let me, this excitement that I have right now, this childlike excitement, please don't ever let it go away. I want to be annoying.
Yeah.
Don't ever let it go away. I just want to be shaking all the time with excitement. I know it's probably not how it's going to work. There's going to be some times where I don't, and I hate the idea of it.
Yeah.
But just keep seeking it. Keep focusing on God. When you pray, get rid of all of the structure, the religious talk, the thing. If you feel like you have to include it, don't include it.
Yeah.
Just talk. And remember, you're talking with God. Mm-hmm. You did a sermon a while back and you said, what was it? Linger.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're praying, don't just, you know, hey, I want this. Amen. Really open your heart up to God. First of all, he knows everything. If you're struggling with something, share it with him.
Yeah.
When I've been going through all this stuff with my anxieties and all, I've been just sharing it.
Yeah.
Lifting it up to him. Because remember, he's our heavenly Father. He loves us.
Yeah.
When your kid comes to you and says they're struggling with something, you're not like, go away.
Right.
Let me help you.
Yeah.
God wants that. He wants you to come to him.
Yeah.
He wants a relationship. That's the beauty of all this. We get a relationship that we in no way, shape, or form deserve.
Right.
Open up to him. Don't try to hide anything, because he already knows, but he also knows you're hiding it.
Yeah.
So just share it. Talk with him, and then listen.
Yeah.
Listen by reading his word.
Yeah.
Don't, by the way, another thing I've learned, don't go off of, hey, God, can you answer me really fast? And then listen for an answer in your head. Very bad idea.
Right.
Because your head's just going to say whatever it thinks.
Right.
And usually it's going to think the thing you don't want. Don't do that. That's not smart. I'm learning how dumb I am through all this. Read his word. That's where he's going to reveal most to you.
Yeah.
Continue to pray. Be genuine in your prayer. Pay attention to the circumstances around you.
Yeah.
And listen to the church.
Yeah.
And yes, I pulled all that right out of experiencing God. But it's so true. This anxiety that I went through, and I just want to break it down just a little.
Yeah.
Where the enemy's been attacking me and making me doubt everything. And I mean, trying to make me doubt everything.
Yeah.
Including my salvation. The enemy's trying to say, nope, your heart wasn't in the right place. You know, hell awaits you.
Yeah.
And you're trying to scare me.
Yeah.
And at first, yes, it's going to work because it's in your head, right?
Yeah.
So then as I read the word, I'm realizing, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't align with what my head's saying.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was, because God was speaking to me. Now it's not him, and the enemy's not going to tell you the truth.
Right.
And I realize, well, and the word's not going to lie to you. So, okay, well, this isn't aligning. And then I'm listening to people from the church, including you, of course. This isn't aligning. Circumstances around me where I'm fired up and I'm sharing the gospel with people. This isn't aligning.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pay attention to those things. You want God to speak to you? You have to actually pay attention.
Yeah.
If you're wanting a booming voice to come from the sky, I mean, it might happen. I'm not going to tell. Sure. I can't say that's, you know, he's restricted to those four things. He's right. Obviously not.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, though, when you pray, listen.
Yeah.
Really listen. And that's an encouragement I also want to give when you're examining yourself.
Yeah.
You know, kind of going back to the beginning of all of this. Listen. Pay attention. Read the word. Do you feel like something's off when you're reading it? Do you feel like there's a bit of a disconnect when you're praying? And sometimes that's just going to happen. It could also be, you know, you haven't slept well.
Right.
I mean, again, yeah. I just said that happened to me. We just got done doing some worship and I'm sleepy.
Yeah, yeah.
So naturally, I wasn't quite as fired up.
Yeah.
But pay attention to that. Pay attention to not fellow believers, but the people at the church.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the circumstances around you. And if it feels like God is saying, something's not right, you need to come to me still, don't fight it. It's not worth the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to come to him and experience the blessing of having Jesus as your Lord, because it truly is a blessing.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have just rambled, but I'm just
it's
excited. Good. I think my voice went up 5 octaves at one point, but it really is that exciting.
Yeah.
And again, I know right now I'm the newborn baby Christian, right? Like, it really, and I was telling Natalie this, it feels like, you know, my body is 30. It feels like my spirit is a newborn baby seeing Christmas lights for the first time. Like, when I see God move, I'm, whoa, did you see that? Guys, why are y'all not as excited as I am?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's even confusing even. It's,
yeah.
Is this really happening?
Yeah.
And I don't want that excitement to go away.
Yeah.
And it's just so exciting. So it really is such a blessing. And I encourage you to not fight it.
Yeah.
I've had some people come up to me since I shared my, you know, very brief version of my testimony during the baptism.
Yeah.
And they said, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And to those people, and I'm saying this fully out of love, good. I hope you feel convicted. If you needed to hear that, now I'm not going to say if you're saved or not. You could already be.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, hearing this might just trigger a little anxiety in you.
Yeah.
And you're saved.
Yeah.
But don't ignore it.
Yeah.
Examine. And just make it right.
Yeah.
If you're not.
Yeah.
And experience the blessing and the excitement. And yes, the warfare that's going to definitely take place.
Yeah.
I remember kind of thinking getting saved was going to be like being lifted up in a cloud. It kind of feels like I'm being dropped into Normandy on D-Day.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like, oh, okay, this is not what I expected.
Yeah, it's a battle in here.
But then I even told you earlier, and I didn't fully expand on it, but I said, God's answering my prayers. So I've been going through this anxiety of doubt. And when I finally just said, okay, Jesus, I get it. My faith is not as strong in you as I thought. We all think we have rock solid faith.
Right. Like,
we're going to go take down Goliath.
Yeah.
And then I'm in fetal position because my brain's telling me bad things. And I ain't David.
Yeah.
It's most of us aren't. Let's go ahead and get real there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's such a humbling moment. The whole experience is humbling, first of all. You realize how broken you are.
Yeah.
How weak your faith is. And I've been praying, you know, God, strengthen my faith. Strengthen my faith. I don't know why I thought he was going to give me a spoonful of faith. You know, here comes the airplane.
Yeah.
Your faith gets strengthened the same way your muscles do. You're going to break them down first.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get built back up. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be stronger. When you pray, strengthen my faith, which you should do, by the way, mm-hmm. be ready. You're going to face something intense. It may not be what I'm facing.
Yeah.
Because it's different for all of us. We are seeing some other people's faith being tested right now in a different way, in a more physical way, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
Mine's more mental. That's my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's two things. The enemy wants my faith to crumble.
Yeah.
But understand something. Nothing happens outside of God's permission. He is sovereign over everything. And it takes me back to the story of Job.
Yeah.
He's in control. Satan's not pulling little sneaky moves behind God.
Right.
God takes anything evil and can turn it for good.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy really wants my faith to crumble. Now, the enemy can't take my salvation away.
Right.
Once you're in Jesus' hands, you can't be snatched out. No matter how much the enemy wants you to think that's possible.
Right. Yeah.
You're safe there, but like I said, they can stop you from going and getting anyone else there.
Yeah.
You may be a lost battle, but they're not going to let you result in anyone else coming to Jesus.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to crumble your faith. God wants to see your faith strengthened. God wants you to go out there and actually be, you know, useful.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't
want
a useless Christian. He wants you out there serving.
Yeah.
It's the Great Commission.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you know, welcome to the family. Go chill.
Yeah.
Go do what you want. Go have fun.
Head on to your room and you're fine. Just,
See you at church maybe. I don't know.
Right.
If you're not too sleepy, of course.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, he says, go make disciples of all nations. So when you feel those moments of my faith is being tested, give it to God. Let him take what the enemy is trying to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
And turn it for good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Andy, I want to thank you for just hanging out with me for a few minutes and sharing your story. And
this has been fun.
I know there's going to be more stories that come out of this. You know, I want to continue to follow and see how God's going to keep using you. You know, and we meet back here in a year and see where you are and make sure you still have this excitement about you and that you're still as close to Jesus, closer by then. Right?
I hope I'm much closer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But thanks, man, for being here and, for just sharing your story a little bit.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it.